بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه فوت الدين كلها آداب. دين is etiquette, understand procedures, how they work. And then he continues. So the one that is casual and relaxed about the mustahabs, then he gets deprived of the sunnahs. People may say, well, it's just mustahab, so what? Recently there was one great buzurg in Bhopal, one of Muhammad Yaqub Sahib, rahmatullah alayh. And someone told him, ye to mahas sunnat hai. So he replied to that verse, ji ye baat sahi hai ki ye sunnat hai, ye to sunnat hi hai, lekin lehja ya kufr ka hai. Great alim muhaddis and a great buzurg of his time. So he says, yes, it's true that what you're saying is just mustahab or sunnat, but the tone that you're coming through, the tone is a disbelief. So anything of deen must be respected, small or big. We are not to make this type of remarks, it is just a sunnah, just a mustahab. Yes, it is of deen. And this was brought before Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayh, when the hadith was read that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked calabash, dodi, and someone said, no, but I don't like it, get my sword, I need to behead this person. Now whereas if you look at the eating of dodi, it's not a sunnah maqsuda. But now the tone this person was coming in, that was not right. And we don't think much about the tone that we speak in. Okay. So this carries on. You leave out the sunnahs, then you get deprived of the wajib. Leave out the wajib, then you get deprived of the faraz. And then from the faraz, then your deen goes into the dangerous area. So Allah Ta'ala has revealed an entire surah Hujurat, just to explain adab. What is adab all about? Banu Tamim, they had come to Medina Munawwara, and being coming from a village background, so they called out, Ya Muhammad, ukhruj ilayna. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, come to us. So Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ, those that shout out from outside the apartments, they have no brains. The right Arabic or English translation have no brains. Now you can modify it, they lack intelligence, all that, but that's watered down translation. لَا يَقِيلُونَ, they got no brains. In the English language, there's a lot of watering down. You must hate the person behind, but on the face, it's watered down. Double standards. They have no brain, finish. Now, you try and understand why does Allah Ta'ala come out so strongly in the الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ. أكثرهم لا يعقلون, most of them have got no brains. Why? One is this, that you are addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're not supposed to be treating him like one of you all. He's not an ordinary person, you don't just talk to him like that. If you need to meet with a top government official, what long procedures you follow and then meet up with him. You've got the respect for him, will address him in a certain way, understand which is the time to meet him, so that he may look at you favorably. But now, because Rasulullah is so compassionate and loving and kind, so you take advantage, it's not right. Take advantage over the person's compassion, his loving, his courtesy. It's not right. Understand his position. That is why that Umar radiallahu anhu, in his zamana, if someone was shouting in the masjid, he would discipline him, caution him in the masjid. Although now Rabbi has left the world, but he demands that respect, he requires that respect. It's our belief that Rasulullah is alive in the grave, as well as all the Anbiya alayhi salam. So it's not your granny's house that you shout and talk however you want. The ulama say the same will apply to a place where the hadith of the Quran Sharif is being taught, the word of Allah Ta'ala, the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then that has to be treated with that type of respect. So ad-deenu kulluha adab, about all about respect. Now the second thing to consider is, you are going to someone's residence, you need him, he doesn't need you. He may have several different types of engagements, right? Perhaps it is his private family time. Perhaps he's exhausted, right? Perhaps he's just got half an hour and he has to prepare himself for the next session, right? Perhaps he's in the bath, he will take time, wash himself, etc. And you just go on knocking and ukhruj ilayna, come towards us, I ask you, is that consideration? Perhaps he didn't have some sleep for some time, and he just got some sleep, just got the sleep, and then smashing the door. So what you are implying, that your time is valuable, he must sacrifice his time for yours, but his time is not precious. Your time is valuable, that he must see to you, attend to you, but his time is not precious, right? Not valuable. So he must leave everything and come to you, whether he's sleeping, whether he's engaging, whether there's something important that he's attending to. That's not irrelevant. What you've come for is more relevant, more important. You see the understanding. So the Quran Sharif is opening our minds. Now look at the verse before this. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسولي واتقوا الله لا ترفعوا أصواتكم. So you won't say anything, you won't do anything, you won't raise your voice above Rasulullah's voice. You won't do anything before him, right? You won't raise your voice above his voice. You won't do anything before he suggests, before he advises. So if there is a meeting or something, there's a discussion, then let him open the discussion. Don't ever speak before him. You're sitting down and there's a discussion, let him open the discussion. I noticed, see, when we were sitting by Hazraji Rahmatullah or Mustafa Rahmatullah or the seniors in India, Khaisab Rahmatullah, then if we needed to say something, we would say, but short, we would say it, complete short, but we would let him do the talking. And now the whole thing is reversed. Now what's going on now, the person that's coming in, he's doing the talking, and the other thing, alright. So he's doing all the talking, and the person that he's referring to, he has to do the alright or the nodding. Oh, I see. Now that happens when there's no consideration. When there's consideration, then you will say what is important, and you want to learn from him. But if there's no consideration, it means what you are saying is important, and what he's saying is one of those things. I must say everything, I must pour my heart out. I pour the heart out, we're not stopping you from that. But the more important thing is what he wants to say. What does he want to say? So, in a discussion now, let him start it off. لا تقدموا بين يدي الله ورسوله واتقوا الله. And it happened such that there was a discussion, right? There was a tribe that came in, I think it was Banu Tamim, right? And the Shaykhain, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, were discussing as to who must be responsible for this tribe. See, it's a big tribe now, hundreds of people. So who must be put as in charge, like how you make a mayor or a councillor, who should be in charge of the affairs? So one was of the suggestion Aqra ibn Habis, and the other was somebody else, Qaqa radiallahu anhu. And then they were discussing this, the Shaykhin were discussing this, and the voices went up a little bit. And then this verse was revealed, لا تقدموا لا ترفعوا. Don't say something, don't do something, don't raise your voice above the voice of Rasulullah, unless there is a situation where it is expected of the person to say something aloud. Right? Like the Muazzin, right, he's calling the Azan in the presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so he won't say لا ترفعوا أصواتكم. There it is expected of him to raise his voice. Or for example, it is the type of a very, very close affinity, and a close bond. In extremely close bond, and sometimes you enjoy the person talking a bit loud. Right? So if it's Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and she's raising her voice, then the bond is such that in that bond you expect the person to say something like that. Right? So now everybody doesn't feel that I also have the same privilege. She has the privilege, let her do it. But you don't come into the same category. So when you're not in the same category, then don't imitate. Now, we use our brains, but incorrect. Now, he can do it, so I'm also on the same level, let me do it as well. Here, this person's raising the voice is appreciated. It's a small child, and he pulls the father's beard, 10 months, 1 year, father spanks him. No. Father knows that his age, he will cheer up, he will brighten up. Hey, see, so cute my child is. Even if the child vomits onto the parents' clothing, the smile, the laugh, hey, I just dress up, what he did now? You smile, you forget about the whole thing. Sometimes you get a woman washing the child nicely, they made all the number one, number two, they clean everything up, and that child then wants to make huspipe straight. So they'll amuse themselves. So that is expected of the child. When expected of the child, understand he's a child, expected of him, the mother will take it with that love and with that care. But now, you see the child and you want to imitate, that's wrong. So understand things in perspective. All this commotion was carrying on, so what Yusuf was asking now, labeling and taking names. So, he wanted to know, and I suppose many people will have the question in the mind that in the majlis you are taking a name or you are labeling, and how is it? So as a rule, see, one is a rule, one is an exception. So an exception is an exception, a rule is a rule. Now we won't follow an exception, we'll follow the rule, right? But we will also keep in mind that someone is exempt from the rule. Like you saw a paramedic, right, and he's breaking the speed limit, shooting the robot. You can't go and imitate him. He's got a valid reason to shoot the robot. He's got a valid reason to speed. He's got a valid reason. He saw a traffic officer and he's going at 250. He's got a valid reason. He can do it, but you can't do that. So that's an exception. And one is the rule. The rule is you just maintain and comply to the rules. Now you saw him, or dusre ka dekha dekhi, tere muh mein bhi pani aa gaya, you also become, hey, see the speed that is going in, and let me also go with the speed. What's going to happen? You will sit in jail just now. So sometimes at the time of need, a pressing need, an elder may use a statement. To us it may appear to be a little bit strong, but he's got the right to make that type of a statement. It's an elder. When it's an elder, he's got the right to make that type of a statement. In Bukhari Sharif, I think this hadith comes about 5 or 6 times. Maybe more. What I went through is about 5 or 6 times. That Ibn Abbas student reports to him that Nauf Bikali, he says that Musa and the Khizr story in the 15th Sipara is not Musa Bani Israel, some other Musa. He's not the Musa Bani Israel, he's another Musa alayhi salam. So the actual words in Bukhari Sharif is Kazaba Aduullah. Khuda ka dushman jhoot bol raha hai. Now, I was eager, like, all this thing is happening, and I will see the Shara, what they say about it. So the Shari'in, they are the experts. So they'll have tons of hadiths in their minds, and then with the tons of the hadiths, they will give us an explanation. It's better to go with their explanation than having our own explanation. He says sometimes, the Ahlul Ilm, people of knowledge, right, it means the higher ranking ulama, not all ulama, no, higher ranking, those that are very mature in the ilm, they may get worked up. When they see something wrong, they may get worked up, and when they get worked up, they may use these sentences. So they've got the right to do it. Now, but this is now a higher ranking. They got the age, they got the seniority, they got the experience, they understand things in perspective. So if they use those words, then they've got the right for it. Hazrat Muhammad Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi saw that there was a leader, right, in his day. I won't take his name conveniently. And he was misleading the crowd. Misleading this person and misleading that person. So anything he says, whatever he says, people want to squeeze a hadith to show that this is right. Whatever he says, so you want to find some hadith or something to make it appear to be right. So, Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah had named him, ye toh taghut hai, main isko taghut kehta hu, straight. Taghut, the meaning of taghut is shaitan or a but, an idol. Can you think of a word that is more derogatory? Shaitan or a but, right? Main isko taghut kehta hu. But, so when there was a need, that Ahl al-Ilm, he stood up and he guided the people. Now say, Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah was like one of us, you know, handa hati hadayati rewanu hati. Then we take this person, what he's saying is right. Or that person is saying is right also. That person is saying is right. I ask you, will there be any order and system? And I make so much of dua for Mulana for saying this, you know. So we know dud or pani, he separated the issues. Had he not separated the issues, we would have been in a quagmire, we would have been in a confusion. Straight confusion. So some senior great ulama got experience, if they speak like that, they got the right to do it. Now I have to explain this whole thing. See, a lot of time I reprimand the students that we read the hadith, but we don't think, alright, why Rasulullah had to say this? What was the mansha? Are you quoting it very well? You know the Arabic very well, the translation is good. But then, understand it in context. Why did Nabi Sam say a certain, why did he say it? Understand, try and understand. If you don't have the understanding, then sit in the company of the ulama, the Buzrugan ad-Din. Those that are experienced, their life is in conformity with the hadith, sit with them, then you'll begin to understand things in perspective. Someone is coming to Rasulullah is saying, Hazrat Aisha, Bi'sa akhul ashira, terrible person. Hato halkat luchoj hai, he's a terrible person. Now that person comes in, fa'alana lahul qawm. Now Rasulullah spoke to him politely, nicely spoke to him. Now Aisha wants to know, just now you said Bi'sa akhul ashira, and when he came in, then you spoke to him with so much of politeness and so much of courtesy, you spoke to the person. So this type of inconsistent plan, that on the one side you said Bi'sa akhul ashira, but when he came, courtesy, polite, and a gentleman approach. So Rasulullah gave the answer, but I want to show now, why did Rasulullah have to mention this to Aisha, Bi'sa akhul ashira, why? Aisha radiallahu anha, if you understand her position, she has a key position in the emanating of the hadith, in the science of hadith, the knowledge of hadith. She's got a key position. So many hundreds of hadith she has reported, right? The greatest in the amongst women, the greatest report of hadith, the understanding she's got. And then she is like Sarid compared to the rest of the Azwaj Mutaharat, the best of food she is like. So the best understanding, the most complete, the most balanced woman, right? I mean, she's the most balanced, she's most complete, then she needs to see the whole story. So she asks Rasulullah Basim, right? Now I'm giving you the understanding why Rasulullah has to say this. Now when she is such a person, then obviously people refer to her. The Bissam had seen her, right? And he understands her position, her understanding, how mature she is, how balanced she is. So he knows that this person will be such that people will refer to her. So when they will refer to her, it's possible that someone comes and asks, "I care what she, who, how is this person here? This person here, what do you have to say about him?" So if the whole story was not before her, Aisha, she was a very good person, because when he came in, Rasulullah showed him a lot of courtesy, a lot of politeness, a lot of regard, consideration. So he must be very good. Now, could this lead to confusion later on? It could have led to genuine confusion. Now, that person is asking about his daughter, must I accept the proposal? He's asking about his business. This person wants to do business with me, big amounts, millions he wants to do business. And I'm giving a good reference. What will happen? You put the person in trouble. So, Aisha radiallahu anha has got the full story. This person is like this, but now Rasulullah's way is that he will show a gentleman approach, he'll be polite, he will be very, very courteous in his approach. That is his work. But he had to show us Aisha what is the nature of the person, so that she is not deceived into thinking, hey, how come did Rasulullah say this and he treated him in this way? What happened here? What was the reason for this type of behavior? This type of reception, this type of receiving. Why did he receive him in this manner? Now the full story is before her, Aisha Raja. Now if someone has to refer to her about the person, that reference and that report will be balanced. If not, then the report cannot be balanced. That's why I say, either we're not understanding or we don't take out the time to sit by these people and get ourselves right mentally. Look at a tree and a branch, right? So if the branch wants to keep itself fresh, it will keep itself looking beautiful, right? It wants to keep in itself in a way that it can provide and extend its benefit. Extend the benefit, be beneficial, be bright looking, be good looking, and be good to others. Right? Then it will need to keep itself attached to the tree. But if the tree, if the branch says at some point, you know what, I am doing all the good. See, the beauty is in me. See the fruit, it was so insignificant, and with a little bit of time, and see how the fruit, how beautiful it looks. Unzuru ila samadi ila asmara wa yan'i. The branch thinks like that, right? I am so beautiful. People go this way, they come under my shade, under my leaves, to get the type of calmness and coolness. So I am doing everything. This tree is the old thing here now. Nothing, you don't see anything in it. You don't see any fruit on the trunk. You don't see any leaves on the trunk. It's just a log here. I am doing everything. When I am doing everything here, then what's the need for me to keep myself attached to this tree here and allow the tree to have all the respect? Like people talk about a mango is from this tree. They won't say it's from this branch. Will they say it's from this tree or from this branch? They'll attribute all the respect to the respect, the good, the virtue to the tree, not to the branch. So he is getting all the praise, He's getting all the name, and me, I'm not getting anything. Nobody's talking about the branch, my leaves, the fruit that I'm giving off, the goodness that I'm giving off, the shade that I'm giving off to the people that are passing by. Nobody talks about it. Then they only talk about the tree. They left me out completely. So let me break away. Now the moment that branch broke away, then what happens to the branch? Then in a few days, the thing loses its shape. The brightness is gone. There's no more beauty left here. The beauty is gone because you broke away from the tree. You see the danger in that. Not a good thing to explain, but my Ismail was explaining one thing this morning, right? So I won't take the names now. People don't like to drink names, so that becomes a problem as well. Alright, leave the name, minus the name. So it's a wealthy people's masjid, right? I'll just say wealthy people's masjid. So now one person, ordinary army admi, he's observing, right? He's observing the whole operation. He says there was one person that was doing the imamat. We benefited from him. A lot of good was coming out. In the morning he explained us something, in the evening he explained something. So we were taking a lot of benefit. Then he gave his resignation. There was a window period, there was nobody there. So when there was nobody there, then there are 10 people there sitting in the first serve, right? Yes, 10 people, they're sitting in the first serve, and then one wealthy person, one boss will come out, right, you, do the namaz. Isha time, right, you do the namaz. So there's 10 people waiting there, and he is bossing them, right, you will do the namaz, Isha namaz, today you do the Fajr namaz. Right. You see the attitude. Right. But now you see, simultaneously, we got a masjid or something in a poor area. We're battling for an imam. Nobody coming that time. Yeah, there's 10 people waiting in the first serve. You come and do the Isha namaz. So they're all sitting in the first serve. And he's bossing them from behind. Right? Now look at it. Look at the turn of events. So this man is a pure army businessman. Ordinary person. He says, now, suddenly the imamat here was confirmed. Right? This person will do the imamat. All these 10 people disappeared. Nowhere to be seen. You see now, who's losing the respect? Who's losing the respect? Yes, that boss also was bossing around himself, was pushing himself, right, in the wrong place. He doesn't know, he's a jahil. The boss is a jahil, what he is? It doesn't mean you got wealth, so you are learned, you are righteous, no. It's a different thing. You may be learned how to do your factory, how to run your operation, you got the idea about that. But that doesn't make you learned about dini issues. It doesn't make you learned and acquainted with deen. That's totally different thing. It's a different thing, that's a different thing. See, the total difference. But now you see the disparity. You are there, now this person is observing the whole thing, he comes and reports it. But now, I ask you now, will he have any respect left in his heart? Now this is the thing that prompts this type of ulama to speak out, right, this is what's happening. Understand? This type of inconsistent behavior, they will see, the senior ulama will see, they'll understand. And then they'll hold it, they'll tolerate, and after a point they will burst out. And when they'll burst out, they will say, oh, how can they take the name? How can they do this? How can they do this? How can they take names? How can they do this? We don't understand, we don't have that full understanding. So when he takes the name, then it's a point of bursting, at the time of bursting, and he just says the name. See, in Aisha radiallahu anha's story, right, about the allegation, all that, right, and Sa'd ibn Mu'az radiallahu anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah, just show us the person. If it is our own person, we'll put him away. If it's another tribe, we'll put him away as well. So one other sahabi, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, he objects. So no, you're saying this much because it is of our tribe. Because of your tribe, you wouldn't have said this type of things. So, the third sahabi, Usayd ibn Hudayr, he says, Anta munafiqun tujadilu anil munafiqeen. Can you see how strong word? You're a munafiq and you're supporting the cause of nifaq. Now what will you say there? All this is happening in the presence of Rasulullah, and Rasulullah maintained his silence. So there are some extreme cases, situations, where a label is given, and the label is not objected. You've got no objections against the label. Now you just see that, right? And we start smashing the person down. Why he said this? And why didn't he say, yeah, it's not for me and for you to take that position. That's a position of a senior alim, old, experienced, very, very mature, very thorough in his ways. He's seen the ups and the downs, he's seen the upheavals, seen all the fluctuations. And then he comes to a conclusion. It's done after a lot of thought. It's not just done like that. It's not that he just woke up one morning and just writing that. No. There's a lot of thought behind it. He knew what was going on. And he understood. What can happen later on? You can understand. He got that concern. See, it's a lack of understanding. And the understanding, the deficiency in the understanding is there is no association. There's no association, so your understanding doesn't grow. See, the deen, how it came, understand the very nature of deen. It came person to person. Namaz has been ordained in the heavens, but Jibreel comes the next morning, alayhi salam, right? Ammani Jibreel in the bayt. Personally, to show and illustrate how namaz is done. Person to person. You see that? Then, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. You take the namaz from me directly. You see my namaz, observe that namaz, and take it from me. Again, person to person. Can you see that? Jibreel, person to person. Rasulullah, when he's instructing the Sahaba, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni. See my namaz, and you imitate that namaz, person to person. In the Kitab of Hadith, I can count approximately 7 Sahaba Kiram who are practically demonstrating the wuzu to the Sahaba Kiram. Had Usman, Had Ali, Had Umar radiallahu, right? Had Miqdad, Had Muawiyah, Had Ibn Abbas. It's about 7 Sahaba Kiram that are instructing and showing the wuzu practically. See that? So the deen came to us person to person, not book, not Kitab to person. That is book knowledge, and this is knowledge that's coming from person to person. That's how it's come from the top. Now, there's a world of a difference in knowledge that is derived person to person, transmitted, but from person to person. And that knowledge that's book acquired, two different things, worlds apart. Awama, Rahmat Barakatum. He says it in Sham, it happened many a times, that when a person wants to speak, so they'll stop him straight there, although he's very learned and understanding. He says, you didn't sit in the company of your seniors, you got no right to speak, just keep quiet, sit down. They would just sit him down straight away, that you haven't got the company, so you haven't understood knowledge in perspective. You didn't see the ma'lahu wa ma'ali. So that the right thing for you is just remain silent. Observe. Now we want to read something, WhatsApp, what's not app, right? I'm going to give over 2 cents and 5 cents. So this is one wrong. The other wrong is happening when I was talking to Yusuf Sahib. What he's saying, what I understand, now, for example, the two personalities that are under discussion, the Sahib Majlis and Mohammed Abdul Hamid Sahib. Damat Barakatum, right? And I say they've got the right to do it. They are seniors, right? Well, he is serving the community from 1960s, about 67, 68. So it's over 50 years that he's serving, right? When there was nobody doing this type of work, he started off, right? There was nobody supporting the preservation of the masjid. He stood up, one man stood up, and he took the government to task. Right. However he did it. But he preserved the masjid. Can you see that? There was nobody that was doing it. Nobody could stand up. But Allah Pa gave him that courage, that muscle. He went forth and he got the masjid preserved. Right. So now he did his work. If you look at Mohammed Abdul Hamid Sahib, Damat Barakatum, right? Then he spent 3 years in Jamaat. And most of our fathers and grandfathers benefited from his translation. There's a 3-hour bayan that is going on, and who's giving the precise translation? Most of the translation is done by him. Now, all that must be forgotten, that our fathers, our grandfathers benefited from him. Now, when he saw some wrong, and he became vocal, he spoke about it straight, now forget all the good that he's done, and just speak about this, is that right? We lost the respect, we lost the muhabbat, we lost the esteem, etc. Is that right? It's not making sense. The Mullah is not a person that is temperamental. He's balancing and he's watching the whole thing that's going on. He's seeing the inconsistent pattern that's going on. What he has seen in the 60s and 70s and what he's seeing now. So the bughz and the hatred for the sake of Allah Ta'ala is a requisite of iman, and that's what's pushing him to say it. But as I say, it's not for us to imitate. This imitation, that's a wrong thing. Now, imitation, and then we make up a party. See, Mufti Saab is banging so and so. Mufti Saab is banging so and so. And then that becomes a group discussion. Now that group discussion, really, that is the fitna. There is no ilm in that. There's no righteousness in that. There's no virtue in that. That is actual fitna. And fitna to ashaddu min al qatl. Whoever is doing this, I'm not acquainted with all this type of business, but I tell you, they're doing a lot of disservice. It's the fitna in deen. They're not supposed, the articles are not supposed to be read. Because now, your mind is getting all upside down, confused now. Hey, see, this group is saying this, that group is saying that. What happens to your mind? Don't you get confused? You get confused now. It's the fault, it's the sin of the reader, it's the sin of the group as well. They are the greater culprits, because al-dal wal-khir. Man sanna fil islami sunnatan sayyatan. You start off something, everybody is going to follow you, you're going to bear the brunt of it. Because you started this group business, and you're making them into groups. Say, this person is smashing that person down, as though he's got some type of a prejudice against this one, your hatred, personal vendetta, and now you portray it as a personal vendetta. Now what happens? You are creating divisions in Islam. And you are thinking, no, I'm doing a service to Islam. The reader is jahil, is reading the thing. He is also getting dragged into a fight, into a group, into a division. He's taking a part. He's also at fault, but the greater person is the one that is leading this group. And they need to understand what they are doing. Are they doing a service to Islam, or are they doing a disservice? Are they breaking the ummah further apart, or are they trying to patch up? The right thing, if these people have Islam in them and iman, I say, I don't think they have the true iman. I don't think they have true iman. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. There's just some outward conformity. There's not true iman and Islam in their hearts. If they had true iman and love, they would have gone to these people here, Muhammad Sadiq or Ma Abdul Hamid Sahib, Dhamad Barakatum, try and understand what's going on. Right? And you've tried and understood, you went by them personally, understood the whole thing, now your mind would have been different. And then you're asking them for advice, what should we do? You'll ask, you'll find out, you'll see it in perspective, and then you will ask them, alright, now what should we do in the face of all these things here? Then that buzurg will tell you, apna kaam karo, bhai, do your work. Correct yourself, do your work. This leave to me, you do your work. So there's no problem. But now you want to create a division, so it's easy to create a division. Is it difficult? It's very easy to create a division. So is Islam to create divisions or to put people together? What is Islam all about? But now you see this, man sanna fil islami sunnatan sayyatan. You start off a wrong, right? Now everybody that follows you, you bear the brunt for that. If you had real feelings for Islam, then your whole approach would have been different. Your ways would have been different. Your understanding of things would have been different. I saw situations, right? All these people that I'm talking about, all are passed away now, right? I saw a situation in a masjid. I won't say where, when, whatever. But the father, the father is shouting the son. Right? Son is also a grandfather, and the father is a great grandfather. Right? If the son is a grandfather, the son, the father will be a great grandfather. So the father is shouting the son, Gadero tuka mari gala hoto. Now I heard the words, right? What? Gadero tuka mari gala, where you died? Donkey, where were you? Now imagine the son is also quite wealthy, he's strong, he's powerful, everything. But I just admired the son more than the father. I admired the son because he just put his face down. Abba, sorry. Let's go. Let me take it off. Well, I just admired. Up to now, the picture comes to my mind, and you know, words of dua come for that person. That mashallah, see how well he conducted himself. But I think it happened over 25 years ago. But that picture is so, so clear in my mind. Look how beautifully the son conducted himself. He didn't say, hey, now, you know, I'm such a wealthy person. People hold me in that reputation and that respect. The whole world respects me. And this old, don't have to say that. This old man, what does he think of me? Well, I'm a dirt front of him. He doesn't understand, got no respect. How can he talk like this to me? He didn't have that approach. Up till now, I still respect that person. That young boy, that man, I got more respect for him than his father. Although I respect his father, but the way, the beauty that he carried himself, I said, hey, this man really deserves respect. Now, if I saw that, say I am the, it's the grandfather that is shouting the son, right? Now, I am the grandson. If I see my grandfather shouting my father like this, right? So I tell my father also, Gadero, to come and get out of. Would that be right? I ask, is that right? The grandfather got the right to shout his son like that. And if I say that, then I must be given two kicks. If I say that. Okay, it's not my position to speak to the father in that manner. Now that, garkyakal, you know, you need to have common sense to understand this thing. We don't need to be a rocket scientist. We need to have common sense, but people are becoming rocket scientists without acquiring common sense. So they became rockets, but they got no common sense. So you talk very high English all that, right? But no common sense. That's the problem today. So the surah, this whole surah is talking about adab. Ad-deenu kulluha adab. The whole deen is about adab. Understand? And that I showed that the whole deen came person to person. Slowly. Innama al-fiqhu bit-tafaqquh. Slowly, person to person, you took something, you understood it, you digested it, you came again, you took something again, you digested it, you came the third day. So slowly, gradually, gracefully, it comes in. I just came for a few days, and you're gone? You just came for a few days, you just learned some things, the surface you've learned and benefited, and you're gone. Have you understood the thing properly? Have you understood it correctly? That is why you'll find the hadith as well. If Wa'il ibn Hujr radiallahu anhu, he's a leader of a community, right? He's reporting a hadith. He says something. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is also discussing the same topic. But majority of the muhaddithin are preferring Abdullah ibn Mas'ud than Wa'il ibn Hujr. But both are sahaba ikram. But why are they preferring Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu? Because they say, huwa min as-sabiqin al-awwalin. He came right at the beginning. He made hijrat to Habasha, then to Madina Munawara, then he participated alongside with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practically in all expeditions. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked him so much, right? Sahibu Siwak wa Na'lain, right? So he was so closely associated, he saw everything from the beginning right up till the end. Passed away around the time of Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, right? In his khilafah. But he saw so much. And Wa'il ibn Hujr is a great sahabi, a leader of a community. But he came into Medina just twice. Once in the first year of Hijrat, when the masjid was being constructed, and when once around the ninth year of the Hijrat. There's two times that he came. Once he stayed there for about 18, 19 days, and the second trip also he came, but he stayed for that about 10, 12 days, and he's gone. So this person saw Rasulullah so much, and this person saw, but he didn't see him like how this person see him. So obviously his knowledge will be much more reliable, much more authentic, much more balanced than he is. So most of the muhaddithin are going with him, not with Hazrat Wa'il ibn Hujr. But you see that knowledge how it comes. Innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum wal-fiqhu bit-tafaqquh. So we're talking of adab, right? So you won't talk, you won't do anything, you won't even start off a conversation unless your elder, he started it off, and he wants you to give your some input. He wants, all right, I want to know about this. What do you have to say about this? Like, so then, respectfully, you say your bit. But then also, you just say your bit and finish it off. Now, what we will do straight away, say, what about Musa alayhi salam, when he's talking to Allah Ta'ala, then he gives a lengthy explanation. إِنَّمَا هِي أَصَايِ أَتَوَكَّوُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَدَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَعَارِبُ أُخْرَىٰ. You would have just said, إِنَّمَا هِي أَصَايِ. But why did he give a lengthy explanation? And then again, see, every step, when the knowledge is not acquired from person to person, then you can't understand things in perspective. Here it's Allah Ta'ala that is talking. Right? And Allah Ta'ala is the most beloved of the beloved. Can you think of love at the higher level? It's the ultimate, right? And when he's talking, then any person's urge is to talk more. Because Allah Ta'ala is talking to me now personally. And what will I want? Just to say, just to give one word answers, right? You came from a dawat, madas. Who kind of, right? Say, no, okay, come on, you kind of. Will be the right, will be right. Yeah. Can't say that. They say, you know, I was just thinking of you, but you know, the achar was made just like how you make it. And then there are the samosas, then there are the starters, and then the main course came in, then the tea and the biscuit, and then at the end they gave shukmuk and all that. So you'll give the whole tafsir, right? You could have given one word answer and finish it up, but you don't do it. Why? Because of love. You've got a personal affinity, relationship, love, that forces you, alright, let me show some love. Through this word, let me show some love. So that's a different thing. It's a different situation where you have to talk the language of love. So Musa Islam is talking the language of love, and he doesn't want it to end. And Allah wants him to speak in that manner. So he's speaking in that tone. But then, every situation is not the language of love. There is a language of love, and when there is a language of love, when it is, it demands that type of love, expressions of love, you will express it. Then you will not shorten the speech, then you will lengthen the speech, because it's your mother that is speaking to you, it's your father that is speaking to you, and he needs you to speak with respect, open up, tell me exactly what happened, open the whole talk up. He wants you to do it. There you don't give a one word answer. Like if it was your wife that spoke to you, then you will give a lengthy tafsir, isn't it? Why it's love. But under normal circumstances, you'll be short, precise. One buzurg had trained his murid, right? After training him, he sent him to another sheikh. Says, "Zara unko jaanch to, just test him out." So, after testing him out, the one, the buzurg that is the sender, he wants to know, what you think, what you make of him. Say, Ezra, fuzul goe. Yeah, fuzul goe. He speaks more than what is required. I asked him, are you married? He said, yeah, I'm married, I got so many children, all that. Said, I didn't ask him about all that. Why did he overstep the mark? See, he was just supposed to say that I'm married. End of the story. I don't have that relationship with him. When I don't have the relationship with him, then you're not supposed to say, give all the lengthy explanation. Why did he give this all? That means, in a fuzul goe, he speaks more than what is required. See that? Now you see the whole thing, now understand it in perspective. So I say the whole problem is, hum ilm ko lete hai lekin khud bukhud. I can access it, I know it all, I can get just some spiritual experience, I will know everything. But leave all that, there's a way to do it. The way is a system, is a procedure, and we will have to follow the procedure. The person who is of that level, he will get it spiritually. Shah Wali Rasab was of that level, right? He's of a different category altogether. But it's a different category altogether that we don't imitate ourselves with him. We will say that we are also at the same level. Azaji Rahmatullah Ali. The trouble took place in 79, right? So now the discussion was, should we leave or not? Now trouble hasn't yet started. It's about a week or four or five days before the trouble could start. And Hazrati says, no, I got a pressing urge to leave straight away. So the Khuddam all got ready and they went. And then just in 5 days, there was a whole siege in the Haram Sharif, you can't do anything. So now he's at a different level. Hazarji is at a different level. Everybody becomes Hazarji. So there's no Hazarji left. Right? I was called Hazarji, he was called Hazarji. Everybody's Hazarji. But there is a thing like manazil. Anzilun nasa manazilahum. People coming at different categories, different levels, treat them and respect them according to their level. Everybody becomes Hazarji and demands that type of respect. Really, it's not on. It's not on. See, we don't sit with these people here. So we don't have the true understanding. And therefore, we jump to conclusion. Had we sat with these people here, alright, our understanding would have been different. We would have seen things in perspective, put things in their place. And there wouldn't have been so much of chaos. All this chaos, confusion, division, right? Now, who's bringing this about? Who's bringing all this thing about? So with this, you see this whole surah, how this whole surah is going on. La yaskhar qawm, then Labak says, La tarfa'u aswatakum, don't raise your voice. And then he concludes that verse, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ, lest your deeds may all be cancelled without you even realizing. All your deeds finished, null and void. Just for raising the voice above the voice of the Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Mu'tawi sahab rahmatullahi, he gives a commentary on this. And I like to quote these people rather than saying what I feel. Let's quote them. Because there's no truck, there's no relationship between us and them. No relationship. They're so far, they're so advanced. It is our fortune that we look at the kitabs, see their thought and follow their thought. Rather than, I feel like that, that's my right. To go with them is our security. To go with them is our salvation. To go with them is to be remain on the track. But you move away from them, no security. You're not secure. So he says, alright, why does this happen? That you just raised your voice above the voice of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all your deeds have been cancelled. He says, you see what happens. When you raise your voice above his voice, so raising the voice normally shows a little bit of authority. Alright, do this. Right. Can you see that? That voice, when it's raised, it shows authority. Right. So, in this world here, the believing, in the ummah, can there be anybody above Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There can't be anybody above him. So, we will have to show ourselves as ummatis, and he is the head of the ummah. But now, we begin to raise our voice as though we are implying, Na'uzu billah, Allah protect us, the Rasul-e-Pak is supposed to be conforming to what I say. What? So you are saying that he must conform to what I say. That's what you're implying. So therefore now this is a dangerous line. And antahbata amalu, he says, usse kya hota hai? What happens? He said, usse salb tawfiq ho jata hai. When you do this line here, then the tawfiq that you had to do the good, right? Tawfiq to do good, that thing goes away. Right? Now, there is no motivation, there is no drive to do the sunnah, there is no drive to read Quran Sharif, there is no drive to make zikr, there is no drive to read your mastoon du'as, there is no drive to show adab, to make mutala, there is no drive to do things properly, sunnah, zikr, there is no drive to do it. Now, that thing just drops. See, you have that tawfiq, the drive to do it, that grace from Allah Ta'ala was gracing you to do things all properly, correctly. We're just moving. Now that thing is dropping. Now, your eyes you're not so careful about. Your tongue you're not so careful about, right? Your time you're not so careful about. Your heart you're not so careful about. Before you're conscious about your heart, you're conscious about the using of your eyes, you're conscious about the using of your ears. Now everything is dropping. Everything is dropping. Now just a little bit of pain that you brought to Rasul-e-Pak and what he does to you. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. Now this means the anger is for Allah Ta'ala. It's not personal, not a vendetta. So one person complains to Umar radiyallahu anhu about Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. La yasiru fi sariya. He doesn't go out in expeditions. See, by we are going out or we are teaching deen. We are teaching deen or we are going out on the path of Allah Ta'ala. That's not a license to despise the next person. If you are teaching deen at a higher level, average level, or lower level, but that's not a license to despise the next person. We are out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. It's not a license to despise. Yes, you advise, you call people, ask them to come out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. That's the right thing to do.
But then to despise, to think yourself to be greater than that person, that's not right. So he's complaining about her. Sa'd radiyallahu anhu, okay, la yasiru fi sariya, he doesn't go out. In expeditions he doesn't go out. وَلَا يَقْسِمُ or وَلَا يُقْسِمُ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ. And when it comes to about division and distributing things, لَا يَقْسِمُ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ, he doesn't do it properly and equally. وَلَا يَعْدِلُ فِي الْقَضِيَّةِ. And then when he has to preside over a case, he doesn't preside over the case with justice. See that? So three major discrepancies. He doesn't go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Number two is he doesn't distribute public money, but he doesn't distribute it equally. You know, say, pairs for friends. And the third thing is that لا يعدل في القضية, when he's presiding over a case, that he doesn't do justice. So Sa'd radiyallahu anhu was confident of himself that I'm not doing this thing here. And this person is unnecessarily making allegations. His whole understanding is to create a division, to break up. So now that breaking up is the worst thing. In Islam, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُ, don't break up. Don't create division. See, I just spoke about this phone and how they are dividing. How they're creating division. These people that are writing this type of things, they are creating division. So creating a division is about the worst thing. Your duty was to إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا, to join up, to make peace. That was your work. But now, you went on the other side and you're creating a division, this party and that party. Is that the right thing? وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اَقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا فَإِنْ بَغَتْ إِحْدَاهُمَا الْأُخْرَى فَقَاتِلُوا الَّتِي تَبْغِي. So if one party is making zulm, right, then you go on to the other side and stop the person from the zulm. You go on the side of the oppressed and you try to stop the oppressor. Make peace. إِخْوَةٌ فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَ خَوِيكُمْ. But now you create a greater gap between the ummah and a division. I think I say you're doing the right thing. So this creating a division is the worst thing. It's the worst thing in this ummah. You don't create that division. Therefore, the one that brings the ummah together, then his rewards are the greatest. And the one that creates the division, then he's shaving off his deen. It's obvious, clear in the hadith. You bring the ummah together, then it's the greatest reward. Right? But I must reiterate in this, that bringing together doesn't mean you compromise. No, no. Haq is haq, you say what is right. You don't, like Rasulullah told Aisha, Bisakhul Ashira, straight. He didn't mince the words, right? Mincing the words and you want to bring things together, you can't. How are you going to get it right? Oh no, maybe his intention was right. He had a mixed assembly, mixed gathering, so there was a mixed gender, so not a big thing. Maybe we are worse. Now you're giving in between answers, what happens? Maybe the intentions are right, the hearts were right. So you're giving this type of answers, what happens? You understand what happens? You create a whole lot of confusion. You say, no, this is not right. This incorrect is haram. For men and women to be sitting together, talking about gender equality, etc., and sitting together, it's not right. Finish. You showed your disapproval, you moved out. Right? Otherwise, this will have no boundary. Today you will do this, right? It was a mixed gathering, you sat down there, right? Tomorrow your son will see that father sat down in this. So tomorrow he'll hug with that girl also. What stops him? He may hug. Hey, youngsters, how many of them come here? You know, family, you know, when we get together, outside the house, they make a lot of parda. But when they're together, then they're hugging this one and that one, everything is happening. So that's a common complaint. It's not an isolated complaint. Right? So, you see what the Quran says, you join them up, you don't break them. So you look for every machinery to join them up, every equipment, every machinery to join, not to break. But you will say the truth as it were. Don't confuse, don't mix up things. You will confuse things, then people don't know which side to turn. Go this side here or go this side. Is this right or this right? Then they will think Qadianism, Shiaism is just another mazhab, right? How you got Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad. So if you are liberal, and you are very, very polite towards all these things here, then you're getting so much of emails coming in. People want to know, girls want to know that my fiancé is a Shia, is a Qadiani. How does it work? Is it right? Isn't it just one of the mazhabs? But now that is because you have a casual approach. A liberal mind, casual, and now they call it, it's broad-minded. Right? So your daughter, I ask you, if that happens to your daughter, she's getting married to a Qadiani or to a Shia, will you appreciate that? If you don't appreciate it, then be frank, be truthful, say, be forthright, this is not right. Today they'll do this, tomorrow they'll hug. And then if they are in bikinis, they are dancing somewhere, right? Then the next generation will say, well, the father did this, the son did this. So the grandson will say, all right, they were all together, so what's wrong? What's the big thing? Our heart must be clean. Heart is clean, is all right. What? The heart must be clean. So all this thing, your clothing is a different thing altogether. Don't be judgmental. What they'll say? Don't be judgmental. So now, she must be naked also, but don't be judgmental. See, the brains are gone. So how they'll break all the structures of deen. So that person that is talking, that whether it's Muhammad Abdul Hamid Sahib or Muhammad Sadiq Desai Sahib, to me, they're doing a very great service, extremely great service. And we're not in that league to do their work. The work they are doing is very great. But yes, we don't have the eyes and the tongue of appreciation. Like I say, a lot of our grandfathers or fathers benefited from this year, from these people, for so many years. Now, when they stood up for the truth, now you break away from me, is that the right thing? Not the right thing. Yes. We are in confusion, in a state of confusion. We go and ask them, alright, this is what's happening. What is the right thing? I don't have the understanding, I don't have the maturity, I don't have the experience. Can you just guide them? What must I do? They will tell you, do this or don't do this, or take this stance here. The right thing and the positive thing, inshallah, is to go with their guidance. Because they see time, they mature, they stayed many years with the Buzugana Deen, spent so much of time, right? Now, should we forget all their sacrifices? It's wrong. It's incorrect. So you see, this whole surah is all about adab. And how important adab is. Allah is saying, antahbata amalukum, that tawfiq goes away. The grace to do good goes away. Why? Because of disrespect. And that when the tawfiq goes away, one thing leaves you, and the second thing leaves you, and the third thing leaves you, and then after that you are a total failure, then it is just moments before you leave Islam. One structure collapsed, and the second thing collapsed, and the third thing collapsed, and it's just time before you leave Islam. It goes to such a dangerous end, that the point that it reaches is so dangerous. Now imagine, you're sitting in a mimbar, right? And you're encouraging girls going into a mixed gathering, to a university. And we are saying these type of words, you know, we don't send them to university and high school, etc. Such a treasure of human resources are being wasted. I ask you, you know, when I came across this thing here, and I hear it, or I say it, my body is shivering. You don't understand what my body is shivering. You know, all those youngsters that have got some little bit of dini consciousness, whether it's youngsters, whether it is the university lecturers, they will tell you, by, we will assure you, any girl come from the best muttaqi homes, in 6 months, we will transform, we will change them around. We will change them around, we'll make them lose their virginity, their respect. We will do it, give it to us, we show you. This was the university lecturers are saying. University students got a little bit of consciousness. And then we using the mimbar to say, you know, send them here, and Muslim resources cannot be wasted. I ask you, man, does he know deen? Does he know iman? Does a person know iman? Does he know deen? Now these people are coming from the varsity, from the lion's den, and they are telling you this was going to happen. And then the mimbar is being used. And then now you expect Muhammad Abdul Hamid to just keep quiet. I ask you, if it had happened to your daughter, you would remain quiet. It happened to your son, to your sister, would you remain quiet? Then how do you expect it? To me it seems that Muad had got a lot of love for the woman. An extreme level of love. Like how Rasulullah Pak Sasam, Harisun Alaikum Bil Mu'minina, their love for the Ummah was at a different level. And that extreme love that they had, that's what's pushing them to say this. But before any child can go off and sit in the laps of a Hindu or in the laps of an atheist, right? I'm telling you of real things. Before that happens, they're shouting you and getting you right. Now, should we now shout at them? It's really wrong. That person, I don't think he's got deen. In my understanding, my analysis, he's got no deen. He must read his kalima again. But this is where you're taking them. I just mentioned this. One friend came and told me, you know, the man is in kurta, he sent his two daughters to the varsity, right? All parda, everything, proper namaz, everything, parda, everything. In just 6 months, they are sitting on the laps of atheists, they themselves have left out deen, and they're so drunk, this is the house, right? Upper story is the house. And here, they messed their clothing, piss off everything. They lost their deen, they lost their respect, they're drinking, and it's girls. Now these are university students that are coming reporting to us, and this is what's going on. But now, that's, you know, we understand that. Who? Because this person is saying. He said it, no, so many, a treasure of Muslim resources must be just wasted. So that means, na'uzubillah, what you are saying? What's the implication? Implication is, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was wrong in saying that Fatima, stay inside the house. You do the household, Ali radiallahu will do the outside work. Now I ask you, that person that is talking like this, is he talking in the line of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or is he talking in the line of a kafir? I ask you, ask anybody. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Fatima clearly, and Hazrat Fatima's clothes are getting messed up. Because she's doing all the work, the sweeping out she's doing. On the one side, she's Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlul Jannah, the leader of all the women of Jannah, right? Because of her sweeping, her clothes are getting messed up, right? Because of her carrying heavy things with a string on her shoulder, she's got marks here, right? Everything is happening, but Rasulullah is still encouraging her, do the work of your husband. Do it. Don't come out. So Rasulullah is taking the Ummah in one direction. I ask you, whoever is talking like that, in which direction is he taking the Ummah? In the direction of Rasulullah, or in a total opposite direction? Now these people need to understand that bidat is not confined to salami and all that, right? Bidat is not confined to that. These are also bidat. You're going totally opposite Rasulullah SAW. And then we're asking that we want to be given the Hawza Kawthar. At the Hawza Kawthar, we want to get that water from Rasulullah SAW. And Rasulullah is going to say, "Bhai, you changed your whole style after me. Your whole attitude changed. Your whole ways changed. Now you're asking me to be fed at the Hawza Kawthar. So Hukat, get out." Can you understand what a dangerous role this is? So for Allah Pak's sake, by the original Muslim thought, the way how our grandfathers, parda, shame, respect, that was the thing. Look at this university. How many of them are respecting the elders? How many of them are willing to do the khidmat of the elders? In the holiday period, everything became clear. How many of them are volunteering to take care of the elders? They prepare it to go for holiday and just shuttle their parents around. Go stay here. We will take a 3-week break. But you see now, where that mentality takes them. Allah Baktofi Naseeb.